Hello and welcome to the WadFam Chalk Pod. I'm Dylan Weaver.
And I am infirmed.
That is a socially distanced Andrew Acebo.
Yes, I am.
He is struggling with a little...
A touch of what some have called COVID, but others have called not COVID, so I'm not sure.
We're living in that weird limbo, but you know, it's a good time. We love breaking out the remote record. It's been a while since we have done that, not with a guest, but just exactly. The two of us. You know, it happens from time to time, though. Always a fun.
Classic throwback.
Yeah, right. Remember that, like, year where we just did this the whole time?
3 years ago. Have you been seeing any of, like, the stuff on timelines or whatever of, like, the 3 years since lockdown or whatever?
Oh, no, but it is that time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, March. Right. Gotta love it.
Yep. But,
yep, it's our three-year anniversary for being locked down.
Great.
So... Wonderful. This is how I'm celebrating. It was a great anniversary. I made it 2 years without getting COVID and then got it twice in a year.
Okay, so we are talking about The Fifth House on the Left Part 2, which is episode 279, and continues our Bernard and Eugene road trip, which is part of our larger Bernard and Eugene saga. Or I guess it's just a Eugene saga. But the Odyssey mega arc, as it were. And this is an episode written and directed by Paul McCusker, and it originally aired August 27th of 1994.
Lovely. So this was aired a week after the original, presumably?
Oh, after part one? Yes, yeah. Absolutely it was.
Yeah, the original part one.
Yeah, this is a remake of the episode that came out the week before.
Yep. A remix.
Yeah, and... it's basically the same cast member as the previous episode, except that now we have Corey Burton pulling in as the newscaster all throughout this episode, doing a stellar job as Mr. Radio Man. Mm-hmm. And we also have Randy Crenshaw playing the fire chief.
That's a familiar name. Has he been on the show before?
Yes, so we, you know why?
I think you're going to tell me.
He is Don Iowa.
There it is. That's why I couldn't forget his name. Don Iowa.
No. He is Don Iowa.
For sure.
He was also Steven Strasburg, which we've talked about
before as well.
Played him in a couple episodes, but not all. But in this episode, he's the fire chief.
He's just very obsessed with keeping people away from bad air and getting them towards good air. That's what I'm finding is consistent across his roles.
Yeah, and we've got Corey Burton doing a good, like, every newscaster sounds the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know.
And it's unfortunate because I can't say that it's, like, a particularly great or funny impression. It's just kind of, like, generic newscaster sound.
Yeah. No,
like, I always appreciate, like, the old-timey 1940s, like, throwbacks where it sounds worse. And I talk much higher.
Yeah. I mean, he's striking the balance between Brian Dern and Link Wainwright in this episode.
Yes, of course.
Like, and probably leaning more on that, like, it is quite Link.
those are the two genders. Dern and Wainwright.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're the two impressions that we have.
It's fair.
But yeah. So that's all there is really to the background behind this episode. We didn't have we kind of covered context for this two-parter last week. Mm-hmm. So
do we have a special promo for this one, or is it the same as previous?
The promo for this episode is exactly the same as last one. So we're not even going to do that
lovely part.
We are just going to jump right in to the discussion of the episode at hand. Mm-hmm. And we start where we ended with the earthquake.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite the dramatic ending, so it makes sense for the episode to pick right up there. But I don't even think, like, was there a, there's no cold open, there's no nothing, it just drops you right in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so it would have done the previously on the radio.
Yeah, but not here. Not for the album version. So the episode begins with Bernard and the distraught father. Oh goodness, Foster Smith Hammer. Thank you.
Yes, good old Foster.
Just a swell dude, and his daughter, who stepped in glass when the earthquake happened. Yep. So presumably she's bleeding profusely, and this is right after Mr. Foster Smith Hammer rudely told Bernard to leave and fired his help, and so now they are all trying to literally and metaphorically pick up the pieces.
Yep. Both literally and metaphorically. We'll just hit it off the top. Like the whole premise of this episode is like, boy, Eugene and Bernard are so great at
and
doing
kind.
Stuff because they are from a small town, and all these people suck because they live in a city.
They don't know how to do anything. You don't know how to dress a wound. You're from Hollywood. Like it, it is all the caricatures that we complained about in the previous episode with the part one. It's just, if not worse, but definitely the same.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, but it's just right.
It's exhausting. Right. If I'm honest, I don't have a ton of energy as is, but this was rough.
Like I don't feel like there's a ton to discuss.
Well,
but we're gonna walk
what we already
through it.
Said.
Right,
know?
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know.
All right, so we'll just see you guys back next week for the next episode, and you can catch up, and you'll figure it out. Presumably the child doesn't die of blood loss, but we didn't get that far.
Right. So, Bernard's, you know, doing a good job helping these people out, and they, you know, are upset that he's a Christian.
So he's helping the daughter out, and she's like trying to be brave. She's got glass in her feet, and so he's like, I'll tell you another story. Let me tell you about the time when Jesus washed people's feet. And then it fades to Eugene and Kelsey. And so, you know, then it cuts back later to the Smith Hammers being upset that Bernard was talking to the daughter about Jesus, but we can it's exhausting, and they don't even really give it that much time. Like it almost feels like the show is annoyed that it has to bring it up again.
I don't know, it's an episode of like Bernard being and Eugene being like uber competent.
Yeah, in completely uncharacteristic
and like selfless
ways.
Just like, hey, in a crisis, these are the guys who are gonna step up. Mm-hmm. And I like, and we talked about this a little bit last episode, but like, I like that Eugene is not a Christian at this point. That's not what's fueling this whole thing.
Yeah.
But it is just it's an interesting like, So.
I just wish that Bernard didn't have to convert the daughter in order to comfort her, if that makes sense.
No,
where it was just
that's a great point.
I feel like there was so much emphasis on the salvation status of the daughter and all the talks, like, even at the end where, you know, like, my heart's different now. Thank you, Bernard. Like, it's coded so heavily that this major transformation has happened that it kind of... I don't know. It just makes it all taste artificial, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Like, it just,
And they're, like, it makes sense that Bernard is good at this type of stuff. Like, to a certain extent.
Yeah. No. Like, I'm down for these people being handy. It's more that the... that they have to hit so hard how incompetent Foster is.
Yeah. Like that yeah, he like exactly.
doesn't understand how to like he's never like used a Band-Aid before
mm-hmm.
and he you know, doesn't have a battery radio because he's got $15,000 radio equipment. And like, why would he ever need one with a, why would he ever need a dumb one with a battery? And like, and he doesn't like the, he's, they do a little bit better with Foster, like kind of understanding earthquakes, but like Kelsey doesn't get that at all.
No, it's really quite exhausting. I just say the word again, but no, yeah, they don't know anything about what's going on, and of course, Eugene and Bernard both do, and there's this thing that I noticed, and it I guess is probably the core of my frustration, would be just the kind of hypocrisy that lies underneath it all, where focus like feels like these people are so misguided in how they interpret the world and interpret reality. And so in painting them, they're trying to paint them misguided. Like they're doing the same thing that they would accuse like Western culture or Hollywood of doing to them, being like, oh, you're from a small town.
Yep.
You don't know anything. You don't do anything.
It's the fight fire with fire approach.
Yeah.
Of,
which
hey,
is Focus's favorite thing.
You're going to paint us all as a bunch of like, you know, podunk hillbillies. Then we're going to paint all of you as a bunch of like stuck up brats.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
And therapy's not real, even though our owner's a psychologist. Psychologist, I put loosely. I don't know what schmucks gave him his license, but
yeah. Well, and also your owner is from Southern California.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you really
like,
can't.
Focus on the Family was based out of Southern California initially before mm-hmm. they moved to Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
Like it's yeah.
Well, and yeah, because like there is such a huge, you know, Christian evangelical culture there because of, you know, the Jesus movement in the 70s, all that good stuff. Like, there is such a presence of this type of culture and value there. It's just, it looks slightly different, and it's still just getting dunked on. Like, it's not there at all. Like, I don't know. I think that was my greatest frustration with this episode upon re-listening to it was just, like, the glaring hypocrisy that they're so upset that these people are prematurely judging them or whatever, or they're so superficial, and that the Odyssey writing crew is just doing the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
let me
fun.
Just be, yeah. Let me solve superficialness with a swooping generalization like that. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
It just, yeah. And so we continue, like, through this whole
escapade. I'll put the umbrella in front of me, so when I walk forward, the rain that's falling doesn't hit my front. That's the logic we're operating with here.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So Eugene and Kelsey, meanwhile, are, like, stranded on the soundstage. They make it outside, and then realize that, and then Eugene hears someone calling for help inside,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Kelsey's like, well, I'm not going back in there. And Eugene's like, well, we gotta help. And so, like, they run back in. Kelsey follows him. It's the director, they realize. And then Kelsey's just, like, ups and leaves. And
Eugene keeps. She's like, oh, I hate this guy. Time to dip. Which, and that's, like, roughly around the same time as the aftershock comes through, right? Or is that before?
Yeah, yeah. So, right. So Kelsey goes back outside mm-hmm. and then the aftershock happens. That's actually at the point at which Eugene gets to the director.
Yeah.
Then the aftershock occurs.
Yeah.
And yeah, and he and Lance, mm-hmm. The director, are like kind of trapped in there.
Oh, and good God, Lance is insufferable.
Right. The whole time, Lance is like, why is it taking you so long to get to me? I'm miserable.
I'm crushed, like, underneath this camera that I totally couldn't move myself or something.
Yeah.
Like, presumably it stuck on his leg.
He has a broken leg by the end of this.
Which, not fun. I mean, I've never broken a leg, but still, I feel like he could have done a bit more. Like, he definitely would have needed help out, but he probably could have gotten that camera off if he really tried.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. And then the whole bit once Eugene is helping him, that he's like, "Oh, of course, you know, I would do the same. I'm sure you would do the same thing for me if you saw me trapped." And of course, Lance is like, "No, not a chance. No explanation. No.
I only look out for myself because I suck.
Because I live in California.
There's also
worship the devil."
Right. There's also a bit when they first get outside where Tammy is looking at her car and there are like some bricks fell on it, one of which broke her car phone.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah,
gotta love
like,
the car
under
phone.
Yeah.
Calling under everyone anytime I want when I'm on my car phone. My car phone. For those of you who don't get that, the link will be in the show notes.
Wonderful. I don't. So I'll be checking. Yep.
It's a great, great YouTube video from the bygone era.
Lovely.
But anyway, not the point. The point is that
there were three rocks stacked on top of her car, and she's like, "A bunch of rocks fell on it." But of course, one of those rocks managed to break the...
Yeah, and she's like, "I'm going to sue the studio or whatever."
Yeah.
And then, the fire chief shows up, or a fireman shows up and like helps Eugene and this guy, and they are from the studio fire department. A thing that does not matter at all to the plot, but is stated here, I assume, because one time McCusker heard that studios had their own fire departments and went, "Whoa, that's crazy." Which, to be fair, it kind of is.
Yeah, kind
of. But
yeah,
like, he just couldn't it's the exact kind of trivia that I wouldn't be able to resist throwing into this show. Except he's working it into a scripted audio drama.
Yeah, exactly. It just makes so much sense that, of course, that there's going to be the studio fire department.
But yeah, so Eugene runs out to help.
Yeah, he saves Lance, gets him to the medical professionals, and they're like, all right, well, we got to scram. There's an apartment complex
on
fire.
And he asks about Kelsey, and the guy's like, "Oh, yeah, she's in the fire station. It's that way."
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Well, do you guys need help?"
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, "Well, yeah, of course. Like, we'll take help." And so
jump on the truck, and which I thought, like, man, that actually would be kind of fun. I've done some disaster relief efforts, but I've never gotten to ride on a fire truck. So
I have done some disaster. Yes, I have ridden on a fire truck.
Really? Oh man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad for you.
In any like official capacity. Like, it was friend of the show, Adam Deckard.
Lovely.
His family has a cabin up at a lake. Mm-hmm. And they every year they have a fair, and I was up there for fair weekend one year, and they were given fire truck rides.
Lovely.
So I stood in line for a very long time.
That makes sense.
To get to ride a fire truck with Adam.
Yeah, no.
And we talked about you while on said fire truck.
Oh, really? Wonderful. Thinking, Andrew might like this.
Something that was about a weird memory that just popped into my head where I was like, "Oh yeah, I was sitting up there with Adam and we were chatting about things, and yeah, you were definitely mentioned."
Lovely. Oh wait, when did this happen? Like, what?
I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. It was pre-COVID.
Okay.
Probably post-podcast, pre-COVID.
Yeah. That makes sense. Why I would be on your lips, I suppose.
Your name will always be on my lips.
Lovely. Right back at you, Dylan.
So Eugene goes to pitch in. Meanwhile, Bernard, they are trying to escape the house, but are struggling because the gate doesn't move.
Mm.
And then, you know, Foster's like, "Well, we could just stay put until people show up." And Bernard's like, "But what if other people need us?" And he's like, "Well, screw the other people. You know, I want to live. I only care about my daughter." There's a point earlier with Eugene and Tammy where she like expresses like concern.
Yeah.
Or with Eugene and Kelsey rather, where she expresses concern for her dad and for Tammy. And Eugene's like, "That's the first time you've said anything."
Unselfish. Yeah. It's the first thing you've said unselfishly all day or something like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Eugene and Bernard just calling people out, just straight up out of pocket, being like, "Shut up." Which, they're written poorly, so like they're kind of within their rights to say shut up.
Yes,
but it's also like, wow, Why?
Yeah, it's... yeah.
Thank you for making it go this way. This is so constructive for children. Let's just have the really good role models get angry and do the right thing in silence.
Yeah.
So, That's that Protestant work ethic coming out.
So Bernard starts, running around and then is, like, helping out other people in the neighborhood. And they're, like, all working together to, like, lift up, you know, to dig up somebody who's, like, under a mattress. And we're cutting back and forth between that and Eugene, like, comforting people who are coming out of burning buildings. Mm-hmm. Interspliced with, like, the newscast saying, like, you know, how tragic all this is and stay put and, you know.
It was a 6.9, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, no, it was a 6.9.
That's Richter correct. Scale.
Yeah.
Oh, Bernard does make a good joke about Eugene.
Eugene in his backpack.
Yeah.
I wish Eugene was here right now. Why? Does he know how to dress wounds? No, but I bet he has a Richter scale in his backpack.
Yeah, just top notch. Yeah. He probably knows lots about earthquakes. It's true. And it is established that he has a portable microscope, so a seismometer is not beyond reason.
But the whole montage of, like, hey, everyone's, like, banding together, helping people out,
with this long, like, dark night
or whatever.
That part was good.
Look, I hate this episode. I did, like, tear up there.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Here's the thing. Like, you can always get me with community bands together stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, a big trigger for me. That is why I, like, cry at the end of It's a Wonderful Life. Mm-hmm. Like, it gets me the idea of, like, oh, yeah, all these people who don't know each other banding together, helping each other out. And so, like, yeah, that part is cool. I like Bernard and Eugene being helpful. I just don't like when it's being done to, like, to make fun of how bad everyone else is at doing this.
Yeah. Well, and it's just like that. I mean, they're role models for a reason, but the emphasis needs to be on them not knowing that they're role models, you know, like, where it's like, if you want everybody to do this and behave this way, they can't have egos about it. And Bernard and Eugene clearly don't have huge egos about it, but they definitely have some. And if you're helping, you can't really be thinking about yourself primarily.
Yeah.
Especially in that capacity. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I appreciate a lot about this episode, and I think that you're right. Like, there's some very harrowing moments, and the Foley in this episode's insane.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the sound design sounds so good.
Apocalyptic.
I forget which. Was it the... It was two episodes ago, maybe, that we, like, really got on them about, like... Oh, yes, because it was the... It's the dream episode.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, man, like, this is written in a way that I don't understand where or how anything is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it's just like, it's all laid out crystal clear. It's it's one of the big differences between McCusker and Lawler as writers, where I'm just like, McCusker really understands how to write for the visual medium in this way. For the audio medium, whereas Lawler is trying to write for a visual medium.
Yeah, and it's difficult, but yeah. Lawler's scripts feel like a point-and-click adventure, where it's just like, yeah, you click on this thing, and it's going to tell you why you need to click on this other thing, and then it's going to tell you why you need to click on this other thing, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So.
But that's enough about Lawler. He's not involved in this one.
Right. But yes, the script is, like, the script is good from a, like, understanding place and how story works and all of that stuff, even if I don't appreciate the content of it. Mm. And the sound design is excellent.
There's fantastic.
Like, a really good, like, low rumble going on through, like, the whole, like, initial scene when they are at the... Yeah. When they're at the studio that's fallen down. There's also a funny bit. This episode is so, like, we're covering this so out of order, but whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a really funny bit when they're running around the set trying to find Lance. and it's a maze because it is like it's rubble and it's a set. And it just like it just got me where they're like really struggling, and I was like, oh yeah, that's
it's chaos of chaos. There's definitely parts, and I will say, like what we were talking about with the radio broadcaster at the end and the Foley that he gives, of just being like, you know, don't go out, boil water, we don't know if it's safe to drink, all this good stuff. Like, there's these public service announcements that are, like, very just kind of harrowing, and the idea that, like, he goes to, like, basically throw it to the camera or to the traffic people, but he's the only one there, so he's like, well, I can see that the road's backed up from here, and there's been unsubstantiated reports that some freeways have collapsed or whatever. Which is, I don't know. I mean, earthquakes are scary. It's not necessarily something
Burton
I have a ton
performs
of
that,
but yeah.
Yeah, Burton performs that very well, like with the exact right amount of gravitas.
It almost makes me feel bad that, like, we don't get to hear more about this character. That's just the lone newscaster sitting at the top of a tower during a 6.1 earthquake, or 6.9.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so the other thing we have to talk about, I guess at least briefly, is...
Oh, certainly.
I have the exchange here between Foster and Bernard.
Yes, of course.
where Kelsey's... Where Tammy says that she's like, I'm safe because, you know, because Jesus is protecting me. And Foster looks at Bernard and is like, are you talking to her about Jesus again?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I want to tell you something. I'm a patient man. I pride myself on my tolerance. And Bernard just cuts him off. And is like, look, unless you have other profound words of comfort to give her, then yeah, I've been talking about Jesus. And I'm going to keep doing that. Are you going to ask me to leave, or can I finish bandaging her feet?
Which,
and it's just...
God bless. I mean, it's harsh. It's harsh. But, I mean, I feel like that's the nicest, most direct way he could have said that.
I appreciate the crisis mode where it's like, look, stop focusing on this. We're just trying to get through this.
You need to focus this on your family.
But we just need to get through this. Like, stop drumming up this for no reason. The flip side is like... I appreciate that, like, good that that Bernard is able to offer her comfort during this time. Like, mm-hmm. I do appreciate that. And I'm like, I don't know, especially just as a kid, it's like, that is such a comfort.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. And having the story and the distraction and all that, like, is so huge.
Yeah.
And the fact that... So, the way that she brings it up is that, like, the dad is saying, like... Or Bernard says she's doing great, and the dad's like, yeah, she gets it from my side of the family. And the daughter's like, no, I've actually just been praying to Jesus to help me be strong.
Yeah.
And Bernard's like, no, Tammy, that's not the time. And that's kind of what spurs it on. But again, it's like what I said earlier, where it's like it's coded so heavily that the daughter is just radically transformed by hearing about Jesus for the first time, which is, you know, possible and real. And considering the circumstances, you know, I feel like that would be particularly traumatic and impactful.
Sure, yep.
But it's also, you know, they didn't have to do it that way.
Right. It's a little cheap.
Yeah, it's a little cheap, and I think that it misrepresents what the ideal Christian participation in disaster relief is, and it's less about perpetuating the faith and more about, like, relieving the suffering.
That's well stated.
Thank you. I just used my last two COVID brain cells for that, and I'll be signing off now.
Okay. You nailed it. I don't know how to come back from like you perfectly summed up what I wanted to say, and so I think we just need to move on with the conversation.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like we've said, like, so we've gotten pretty much up to the point where Eugene and Kelsey come back.
Correct.
Which, another great example of the Foley. There's this tire screech coming around the corner.
Yep.
And immediately my brain goes, oh, somebody's, like, Kelsey's back or whatever.
Right. Someone's going to hit Bernard's car,
mm-hmm.
Bernard's new truck. It's going to be Kelsey.
It's going to be the crazed prospector again.
Yep. And, yeah, and he's like, you know, he's... What Bernard says, like, you need to give your daughter driving lessons to Foster. And Foster's like, I would, but that was Hubert. He's like, Hubert? Oh, Eugene.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, call back to when...
part one.
Well, that's, yeah, what, Connie part one, yeah.
What?
Connie part one
oh.
is where... yeah, Connie, I think it's Connie part one, where Eugene's first appearance. And that's where either Tom or Whit refers to him as Hubert.
Oh, interesting. Lovely. Yeah. I think that's Tom.
I was about to say Tom, and then I was like, I think it actually is Whit.
Oh, but that's unfortunate. Well, we'll have to go back wrong. and
check the notes. You know, we'll have to cover that episode again.
Yep.
Us
covering that episode.
And so, oh no, but before they get back, Andrew,
mm-hmm.
we have to talk about the, like, heart-to-heart that Kelsey and Eugene have.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because she talks about, like, you know, she makes the comment about, like, her worldview coming crumbling down, which we called in the last episode.
Yeah.
And Eugene's like, I shouldn't have said that to you. I'm so sorry, which I, like, appreciated that he apologized for that. But then she's like, no, but you're right. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, watching all these things, like, fall down around me, like, all these, you know, all these facades and, you know, everything, my whole world feels like a movie set. And she just gets, like, very nihilistic.
Mm-hmm.
And because Eugene is the one here, she doesn't get the comfort that Tammy gets from Bernard.
Yeah.
Because Eugene doesn't have that tool bag.
Yeah. Well, and he is not looking to prescribe a solution.
Correct. But it just leaves her in a weird, unresolved place.
Yeah, no, for sure. Which is
like, oh, I've understood that, like, the error in my ways, but I don't have an alternative.
Yeah, I don't have an alternative, and she's basically expressed as much that, like, it wasn't her decision to be this way, everybody in her community's like this. So,
right,
you know,
right.
There, if honest, like, it kind of would be better if there was, like, a Bernard there to be like, well, you should go to church and maybe start hanging out with different people. Because,
I mean, you
kind of do need to you know, connect yourself with some different types of people if you want to grow.
Look, Connie's got, like, Connie knows Christians in L.A.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they exist. At least one,
like,
of them.
Like, yeah, I mean, she could go
hang
out
with... there's plenty of Catholics, so...
Like, go be friends with Marcy and Pamela and, like, all the other, you know, people around. Actually, wait, is Marcy the bad one? I forget. But regardless, you know,
she's still there.
Right, like, there are, yeah, you've got...
She
got,
could be good now.
Do some networking, you know?
Yeah.
With the old lady, you know, who we like. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, no, I do think that you're apt to point out the lack of solution given to Kelsey by Eugene, because she does just kind of be like, no, there is, I mean, it all just kind of fell down, and Eugene's like, yeah. But that is,
right.
In my opinion, or at least in my experience, like, that's the correct response, is not to try and provide solutions and just...
Yep, I agree.
Call
just,
for what
it's,
it is.
It's a weird juxtaposition.
Yes,
but
oh,
like,
certainly.
But yeah, I don't mind this, and I'm like, she'll go on her own journey off screen and whatever,
mm-hmm.
but it just feels odd for a kids show and for this show being what it is, that it didn't, like...
Well, I think the whole point
didn't
is
make
that
an
she,
attempt there.
She has learned to be more grateful, because, like, when she does get back, there's all
fair.
Of that, like, oh, I'm so glad to be with my family.
Yeah,
I'm so glad
yeah,
that
I forgot
okay.
about that moment, because, yeah, they get back, and... she's like, how are you, to her dad? And he's like, well, the house will be. And she's like, I don't care about the house. I want to know how you are.
You're alive. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And the same thing with, you know, obviously her younger sister is injured, or half sister, stepsister situation.
Right.
Is injured, and she's, you know, caring for her as well. And everybody's, yeah, they're just concerned with each other as people, as opposed to who those people are professionally and how their careers interact with them, you know?
Yeah.
And it's painted very basically with like a broad brush, but I do think that they do give her a little bit of like, I know that I was valuing this wrong. Maybe I should do this more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if that is just like, I don't know, maybe consider the existence of another human being, because I just didn't for the last 18 years.
It's true.
Yeah. And so then they give their goodbyes, and Eugene and Bernard speed off back towards Odyssey, where things never change.
Yeah, right, exactly. Foreshadowing what's to come.
Uh-huh. And it's cool. I think it's
Wait, before they speed off, Andrew.
Oh, yes.
Eugene gets a kiss.
I completely missed that. What?
What? Kelsey goes, may I kiss you goodbye? And Eugene does a classic, if you insist. And then we hear her kissing him.
Lovely. We love a good kiss in Odyssey. And we got the sound effect for it.
We Perfect. Did. We've talked about this many times, and I assume it's a cheek kiss. But regardless, very cute. Also underlines the fact that we have gone 6 episodes and Katrina has not been mentioned once. And what in the world is that? Like, they clearly just don't know where the show is headed at this point.
No, yeah, for sure. They have no idea. Eugene's kissing other girls.
They're kissing him.
Yeah, they are kissing him, and it's hard not to kiss him. I mean, if you've ever seen Eugene, he's a real magnet. So
yeah, mm-hmm. I would love nothing more
than to kiss Eugene.
Yeah, I feel like that would be nice.
Or to be kissed by Eugene. I don't know.
Either or.
Oh, rest in peace, Will Ryan.
Yeah.
I hope heaven's treating him well.
Amen. All right. I don't think I've got anything else
to say.
You know what? The other thing I do have to say is, sorry, this was a big thing in my whatever. So Lance, the director, compares Eugene to a young Marlon Brando.
Yes, of course.
Once again, referencing something way before this show's time.
Yes.
But second off, Eugene says who?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, we expressed three episodes ago, when he was in the college place, of like how much he likes movies.
Yeah, and he doesn't know who Marlon Brando is.
He doesn't know who Marlon Brando is. Everyone knows who Marlon Brando is.
I don't even know what he looks like, but I do know that he's a famous actor and exists.
And he gets name-checked in a Lucy Dacus song.
Yes,
so, you know,
of course.
In fact, it is named after him.
Mm-hmm. Good he's song. Like a cowboy type. Yeah. No, he's, I
no,
guess Brent, less.
No, not a cowboy, just like hot guy.
Yeah, yeah. Like Rebel Without a Cause, like a Dean Martin type situation.
Sure. You're thinking of James Dean.
James Dean, not Dean Martin. Who's... that's different.
Yep.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
And I'm laughing because you think you're Brando, but you'll never come close.
I mean, we can all try to be Brando. Collective. That's my plug for this this episode is Lucy Dacus. Actually, no, I should plug something COVID related. You can
what?
Plug
no,
Lucy
plug
Dacus.
Lucy Dacus. Come on, dude.
But that's you plug Lucy Dacus.
No, I have another plug planned. I'll do both.
Okay, fine. I'll plug. Lucy Dacus, home video, great album.
Oh,
Historian came out.
Perfect album.
3 years ago. No, 4, 5 years ago. Historian came out. Or not. Maybe
no,
not the
2019,
album.
4 years ago.
No.
Is Historian 18?
I think it's 18. Because I was still playing
soccer.
I thought
it was spring of 19. Okay. Anyways, doesn't matter. But yeah, Historian's great. Home video is absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
We love Lucy Dacus. She's great live.
Mm-hmm.
Seen her
and
three
like
times
a,
now.
A former Christian kid.
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
Not absolutely.
Entirely.
Not evangelical,
sure
but Christian.
Yeah, definitely.
And her collaboration with Julian Baker and Phoebe Bridger of called Boy Genius. They're releasing a new album next month, and they need no promotion from me, but boy am I excited for
Coming out on the 28th, it'll be coming out the Friday after that.
Oh yeah, true.
So there you go.
True
Listeners, get ready to be sad if you aren't already. Head on over to Boy Genius for all of your weeping needs.
I really hijacked your plug there, Andrew.
No, it's okay. You're fine.
You got something else though? No.
Vitamin C. Okay. Wearing a mask. COVID still exists. I don't know. Appreciate your bed, because you never know when you're gonna have to sleep on a couch because you've got a disease.
Oh no! Yeah. Yeah. True. Okay.
Now it's your turn, Dylan, with all this run-up.
So I am both making an announcement and making a plug, which is we bemoaned this on the last episode and for a lot of episodes. I would like to formally announce that we are no longer giving Focus on the Family $10 every month. Our access to the club has been canceled.
Woo!
Very, very happy about this. Despite it being something that we've been talking about for a while, it hadn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. And then I finally had an inciting incident.
Please explain.
There will be a link in the show notes, but there's a podcast called Mammonburg that is a like leftist Christian podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Josh Borman of The Worst of All Possible Worlds. So the podcast that AJ Diddy is on came on an episode of their podcast of Mammonburg to just do a Focus on the Family deep dive. And it is a big old bummer. but really good stuff. And nothing new, but just like that I hadn't heard before, but just having it all laid out there.
Yeah.
While I listened, I was like, boy, do I have to cancel this. So thank you, Mammonburg. Thank you, Josh. That episode link will be in the description, but is called The Most Focused of All Possible Families.
Couldn't be farther from the Acebo reality, but we tried.
So that's what I've got.
That is incredible. Yeah, that's a great plug on many levels. Actually, I'm curious now. I'm gonna go listen to that.
Maybe I'll
I need to share it with loved ones so that they can better understand my hatred for Focus.
Yeah, it's worth the listen.
Oh my stars. And what are we covering next, Dylan?
And with all that being said, we're gonna be back next week for episode 280, Gone.
Dot, dot, dot. Bye, guys.
Bye.